Very fucking unprofessional.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Come on, let me see you back it up. I wanna feel it pretty well. And show me your love for me. All I really want is
show me your love for me.
All I really need is
show me your love
for me. Now grind, little mama, move your hips like this. Go ahead, shorty, get it, just get it all over me.
All I really want is
show me your love for me.
All I really need
is show me
your love for me. No cologne, just Kush and Patron on me. All morning long, niggas high sipping. I be so on, wanna get my nose clean. Hey, where I go, girl, it's me, my name. Yeah, little mama, what you feeding that thing? And the baby like, damn, without Dre, it ain't the same. But we keep it lit on the dance floor with a hoe, and she stupid thick. Oh, you say you go, okay, then let me see you do that shit. Yeah. On my hips a crumb thing. Steal from your mother cause she's a cold fiend. Got rich overnight, all started from the drink. Introduce me to your wife, now that's the wrong thing. Got chicks everywhere, every time my phone ring. It's a light skin thing, or maybe it's a dark one. Got so many whips, I can't remember where I park one. Celebrate every day, my childhood was a harsh one. But I'm back now, 20 G stack in my pocket. My figure chain and your girl wanna rock it. My figure lawyers, accounts, and stock market. Make $1 million while you other rappers talk.
Say,
and all the girls say, say, and all the girls.
You know what I'm saying?
If y'all ain't noticed by now, we celebrating the life of the J.A. today.
Always remember my niggas, though.
Rest in peace to the Jacker.
I got some real ass niggas, though, you know what I'm saying?
Taken from us way too early, 9 years ago today, so we gonna vibe out. I'm letting this shit rock. Take a shot or two, not a few. Get right back.
Professional as fuck podcast.
500. Five, what's up, dude? What's the business, boy? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I got some real ass niggas, though. You know what I'm saying? Doing King Life, nigga. Nigga, man. Doing time, nigga, for some real stuff. Shit, nigga, for real. Nigga, living. Believe that.
Big boy.
With my niggas. Strap the fuck down, cause I'm with the shit. Hit the east way. Strike on out, do a thou wild with a blunt in my mouth. Damn, that's my shit. Free my nigga Huss, hold it down for the convict. They got this shit locked from the yard, they convert. Don't got too many enemies, my nigga, we fire first. Remember that? I'm trying to see where your feelings at. The Lord of P ain't allowed to speak, let you peel the cap. My nigga Black C, we really lit it up. He doing 10 flat, we don't give a fuck. Don't think I forgot. I remember blood, they have a cross, it's better pray they could survive a slug. If so, here come 99 more. So fake, I see through you in a blindfold. Hop in the cut with my knees. Shut the fuck down, cause I'm with the shit. Hit the heat way, strike on out. Do a thou wild with a blunt in my mouth. You know that's my shit. 615's in the trunk on dumb bitch. Coke push about whatever, boy, cause I'm dumb rich.
Yeah.
This
is without a shadow of a doubt the talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host Ruck, episode 228. Tell y'all, man, I was complete transparency, man. You know what I mean? I've been kind of falling back in love with the music creation process. Like, I don't know how to describe it to y'all, man. It's kind of been a revival of some sorts, right? So today, you know what I mean, got to the end of a work week. Friday hit. Knew that I had to get a show out for the folks, but at the same time, you know what I mean, just the focal point right now is just being creating. So almost went, you know, a day further without releasing the joint. Was going to do this show on Saturday, but then, you know, the news of the JA, you know what I mean, that you just get reminded things like this 9 years later. and had to make it happen for the Jack, man.
Mob shit, I'ma bring it back for the young niggas. I hop out, stunt bad bitches and all. Pocket full of money, try and get to the
shout out Diggs. Gotta cut it off, man. If I don't cut it off, I'm gonna end up just gigging, you know what I mean? Gigging and swigging, and you ain't even gonna get a show. First and foremost, I want to, you know, remind everybody, man, like I said, 9 years ago today, the world lost one of the illest to ever do it. Not only one of the Bay Area's most beloved artists and a talent that could have definitely broken to the mainstream success without a shadow of a doubt, but just one of the dopest individuals, man. You look at his peers and the way that they speak about him, just random ass fans of his. I have a few people that I know and come across who have rubbed shoulders with a guy and said that he was like one of the most, just personable individuals, hospitable, kicked it with him, you know, blew some blunts with him and just, you know, chilled. Not every artist is of that, you know, mindset. Not everybody, you know, rubs shoulders with the folks that love him in that kind of way. And when people make impacts like that, you got to make sure to keep their spirit, their memory, and just their life celebrated and alive. That being said, Dominic Newton, a.k.a. Shahid Akbar, a.k.a. the J.A., a.k.a. the Jacker. So just briefly talk about this guy, man. I mean, love that spans not only coast to coast, but I'm sure worldwide. There are artists that we, you know, look at as mainstream individuals. I mean, not many people may know, but you should know. Freeway of Rockefeller actually did a joint project with this man. They shared the fact that they were both Muslim individuals. I know Freeway spent a lot of time out here with this guy and vice versa. And I mean, when you talk about 9 solo projects spanning over 19 years, countless collaborative projects and mixtapes, definitely couldn't, you know, list them all. This guy's got trilogies and sagas and, you know, just collections of work with individual artists, different variations of groups. Think about the Mob Figures, the Devil's Rejects albums. Work with Burner on the Drought Season. I think there was 3 of them joints, so, you know, the trilogy. It's just, you know, his work and his impact and his love and everything that he did continues to live on today in the Bay Area. They call February Jack History Month. No disrespect intended to Black History Month. And once again, I'll just remind the folks about that as well. But in the Bay Area, man, it just means a little something different. We take this month to make sure that we remember such an important person, not only to our story and our history, but overall in the 51st now year of hip-hop, somebody who definitely has made contributions that should forever be not only respected but revered and any other dope adjective you could put to it. Just want to make sure that we show love to the guy, man. Maybe Mike just randomly play some of his joints throughout the pod. I don't know. I'm vibing, like I said. Been a definite long work week. Before we go any further, I want to give a slight update. You know what I mean? I talked to y'all previously about opportunities opening up within my company. I know this is probably like everybody's least favorite version or segment to the pod, but I mean, I just got to keep y'all in tune. Had the sit down with my manager. Had way more information, you know, given to me than was from the person who was offering me the position, which was kind of like, you know, it was odd and it was kind of came out of nowhere. And the reason why I say that is because me and this individual have bumped heads in the past. To be completely honest with you, you know, the fact that I have a family and a wife and, you know, people who depend on me and responsibilities and all of the above is probably the only thing that kept me from reacting in the way that I normally would in certain situations with that individual. That and just, you know, being at the age that I'm at now and realizing that this world is full of that type of people, especially when it comes to, unfortunately, power positions in companies, I had to really just weigh things out and look at the fact that for, you know, one of the very few times, I mean, I'll be 100% honest with you, I've had a lot of jobs. This here is the greatest company that I've worked for, and I don't say that shit because I'm currently employed. I just mean it. As far as a quality of life is concerned, work-life balance, just overall, you know, the feeling of a company that actually does care about its employees. I've worked for a lot of warehouses, a lot of independent contractor type shit, where you're essentially just a cog, you know, another piece of the puzzle. This company has given a different feel and proven it over my time there, closing in on 5 years in April. To anybody who knows me, they know that that's something to clap up. With that being said, while all the facts were given to me and all the pros and cons were laid out, not only by my manager, but taken home with me and discussed not only, you know, with the wife, but definitely continuously thought over by myself. You know, it kind of, it pains me in a way, but at the same time, you know, I just had to make the move I felt was best for me, trust my gut. Decided to decline that offer.
What the feezy?
I feel like far too often people, you know, chase after a certain thing that they feel like is going to bring them happiness. You know how they say all the glitters is not gold, and you know, sometimes you go to check to see if the grass is greener over there and realize that there's actually no grass at all. To me, being that the jump in overall figures was going to be, at first I thought it was going to be, you know, a complete difference from what I got going on right now. And, you know, tax season just came up. I'm looking at, you know, the previous 4 years that I've been with this company and just seeing how year after year after year that number continuously goes up for me. The rate that it's going up as, the changes that I've made this year, you know, going back into last November, there's been a whole new focus for me, a whole new tapped into, like, new gear, another gear for me that I haven't really, you know, used at all times. I haven't always executed to the fullest of my abilities, even though I was always going above and beyond in my job, regardless of what it is that I do. There always is another level you could get to. There always is room for improvement. You're never done learning, you know what I mean? I pray that I continue learning until my last day here. Because otherwise, are you really living at all, right? All that being said, I had to really, you know, consider the fact that right now, the feeling that I have about a company I've never had before, the work-life balance, like I said, the ability to work my schedule as I work my schedule, be there for those moments for your children, whether it be, you know, my middle son right now is just about to embark on the wrestling season, the new season, new year of wrestling, right? My youngest son, he's back in basketball trials right now, which means that's about to be popping off. We're so blessed as a family with my wife working right down the way, and for a company that she feels the same way that I do about mine, about that we're able to do what we have to do and be present and productive and providers at our positions and our jobs, as well as always find a way to be there for the key moments that we can never get back at or put a price on. So long story less long, the decision that some people may look at like, oh man, you're making a mistake, I've always felt like regardless of whatever goes on in life, I mean, look at this podcast for an instance. I mean, just for example, today I follow this group where a lot of the different podcasters share information and ask questions and get knowledge from. And somebody asked a simple question like, yo, what part of this, you know, podcasting journey that y'all on is something that you guys get tired of? I'm going to kind of try to, you know, combine these two and make them coincide. But what I said was like, I really enjoy doing all this shit from top to bottom because you're left with no what ifs. You're not dependent on the next person or the next person or, you know, eventually, whether it fails or it succeeds, you know, it's on your own merit. It was through your own decisions. You went the route that you chose to go and, you know, however the chips may fall, they fall. With my job, I kind of feel the same way. Could I have taken a fast track to the dollar figure that I wanted, you know, that was presented? Of course. But is anything that comes easily really worth it in the end? more information was provided to me about how difficult it is to remain, you know, in good praises in that position, just at absolute least, right? Just to keep it kind of vague, but you know, descriptive. On top of that, the turnaround that I've seen in my 4 years, going on five in April, in that position, I've seen three different people enter and exit. To me, the risk wasn't really worth the reward, because the risk also entailed maybe, you know, not liking that position, falling out of love with the company, the stresses and the interaction that I had to have with a certain individual being something that I bring home and have resentment and just, you know, and wouldn't be the best version of myself even at home with my loved ones, which is something you never want to do, right? So I'm going to cut it at that, but my biggest regret of this entire thing is definitely, you know, I can't really say that. Look, I needed to sit down with my manager to get the info to make the best decision, but I really, really wish it would have been on any other day. I want to say now, congratulations to the newlyweds, Angie and Mark. I really wish I had the correct pronunciation of y'all guys' new last name or Angie's new last name, because I would love to introduce you as Mr. and Mrs., but I will not butcher it because I have way too much respect for Mark, his family, you, and our family, Angie. And that shit really bothers me because, you know, if I'm not going to take this job, I really wish I would have been there. Truly hope that there's, you know, no hard feelings. I love the entire Vacareza family like none other. Jay Woods as well, you know what I mean? These guys have always provided me a safe haven. And just, you know, more loved ones and angels in the outfield, man. People that I know got my best interests, you know, at heart. And you can't put a price on that. It all goes together, man, full circle. Same way I feel about the job, right? I have a great relationship with my manager. Now, does he have an invested interest in keeping me in the position I'm in as well? Of course. Did I have to look at it like, you know, you have to examine both sides of that? Are you getting fed purely the negatives from somebody who was going to be in a world of trouble if you decide to move on? I looked at it all, took it at face value. But overall, the discussions that I had with me and the wifey and just, you know, thinking about the moments that I've been blessed enough to be a part of, looking through my phone and just seeing the videos of award ceremonies for the kids at school, games and just everything, man. It's a decision that I'm okay with at this point. With that being said, you know what I mean? That wraps up the Ruck recap. I hope that y'all didn't tune out, but let's get to it, man. Now, from the JA to Jay-Z. Five days ago, rumors started swirling. Rumblings of a possible new Jay-Z project coming out in 2024. This comes from, I guess, like a video director. Shares information and a photo, basically, right? A photo of a film slate, something you would see on the set of a, you know, motion picture, music video, whatever it is. Titled Jay-Z Project or Album 2024, had a director credit along with the videographer credit as well, and a date dating back to 5 days ago, the 27th of January 2024. Voice of the young people. Anybody who knows me knows that I am a Jay-Z supporter, to put it as lightly as possible, right? Just a big fan of everything the guy does, from business acumen, which is probably on the bottom of the list for me, but music, thought-provoking tracks, discography, overall, just, you know, consistency. Not too many in that tier with him. I have to say that he stands alone. But I do say that there's got to be a huge majority of the world is waiting on a new project the same as I. Guess the guy's name was Leroy Farrell. who shared a photo and then a text message that he had with a friend of his, or maybe the friend leaked it, I don't know. All I know is it's important to note that Roc Nation stepped on the story just 5 hours later.
What the feezy?
Maybe not so fast. You know, people were thinking maybe, you know, Hov, new project, this, that, and the other, but Roc Nation comes out with a simple tweet or text that says, you know, this is news to us. Now, if you know anything about Jay-Z, at least in the latter years of his career, you know, recently, there's no need for a rollout. You don't have to, you know, tease a new project coming out for it to do the numbers that it's going to do. Plus, at the age that he's at now, he's kind of, you know, just been moving in silence. Of course, when he's behind a project like he was the Book of Clarence, you're going to hear about the 10-minute song, Me and D'Angelo. So I guess that kind of discredits what I just said. But as far as a solo Jay-Z project, I think you could drop it similar to the way that Beyonce does her surprise albums and still do ridiculous numbers. So all I know is whether this story is true or not, Roc Nation had to do their duty to make sure that it stays, you know, under wraps. Maybe they find a new videographer. I'm pretty sure that guy lost his job, whether it's true, right or wrong. It is important to note, though, just 7 years ago, Hov signed a deal with Live Nation that was going to go for 10 years, a 10-year span, upwards of $200 million. So I'm saying, man, you can't really hate on the guy's business moves. He's always been a step ahead of the game, found a way to transition and remain relevant, not only in the culture and the state of music, art, and, you know, film and whatnot, but also in the boardroom. So I fully expect a project at some point. Unfortunately, I do feel like it will be the last, if not one of. I guess that's not really a hot take, but for me, I mean, just all the activity that we've been seeing from the, what it feels like from, you know, the DJ Khaled features, the Book of Clarence, it just seems like something's on the way. With that being said, definitely going to keep my eyes, you know, to the news and see if there's any new rumblings, if anything else emerges, but hey. One way or another, man, I'm pretty sure we're going to get something. If it's soon, I'm with it. If it's not, you know what I mean? We're waiting patiently. Well, on the topic of deals that are worth upwards of $200 million, a huge congratulations got to go out to the guy, Joe Rogan. And say what you say about him, you know what I mean? Sometimes his views are geared in one direction. There's been interviews that go in certain topics or discussions that could turn off a person who feels this way politically or, you know, spiritually, whatever it may be. But if you cut past all the beliefs and anything that could kind of cloud your vision, there's not anybody else in this podcast space who's done it the way he's done it. And this is just another sign of that. Somehow restructured, extended, or his, you know, reworked the deal with Spotify, this time to the tune of $250 million. One time for that. Now, money aside, because the first time he got the bag back, this time I'm pretty sure it's increased. On top of that, the incentives and the extra terms to this deal is what really has, you know, my interest. I think the most important thing is that this is enabling him to broaden the audience that he's reaching. When he first did this thing, the Joe Rogan Experience, you know, he was on YouTube, had his pod audio version distributed through everywhere, you know, the same way, kind of like me, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, whatever you name it, right? YouTube is a huge space for him and his platform, his shows, his clips, his episodes, everything as a whole. Now, under the first deal, Spotify made sure that when they gave him that bag, it was an exclusive rights deal where it was the sole home of the full episodes of Joe Rogan Experience. They worked something into where, you know, after a certain amount of time, the back catalog would also belong to them solely, which rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way who listen on other traditional routes like Apple or whatever, what have you. YouTube went from displaying full versions to shortened episodes, clips, or maybe some of the older material, not too many of the new, brand new joints. Now, this deal allows him not only to, you know, distribute his show through the different DSPs, like I just said, Amazon, Apple, but YouTube once again as well. Guaranteed a minimum fee from Spotify. What that means is, you know, when you get your ads or whatever it may be, right? When you go to cash out from Spotify, they're going to take a cut. similar to anything else, Patreon, shit, call it whatever, what have you, right? It's America. Everybody got to get their paper. But not only is he guaranteed a minimum fee from Spotify, but he's also given a cut of the ad revenue. Now, whether y'all know it or not, a win anywhere in the podcast game for any of the creators who are doing something similar to this here is a win for all of us. With that being said, I mean, is Joe Rogan the first one to go over there and show results? No. I got to credit Joe Budden and what they were doing. They had a solo deal over there as well where everything was exclusive to Spotify. And, you know, eventually shit got kind of rocky. They felt like they were being disrespected, decided to move and remove themselves from Spotify. But they were definitely one of the front runners of people who went over there early in the podcast game for Spotify, at least, and showed promise and success. With that being said, once they decided to leave, big bags started coming out for a lot of different huge names. Michelle Obama being one. Kim Kardashian, I believe. Amy Schumer had a deal. Not many shows from those guys. They maybe did an episode or two and then faded to, you know, the back rim. However, Joe Rogan came over. He got his $100 million, I believe it was, the first time. And, of course, just continue to do Joe Rogan numbers. This is just a huge win for everybody because once this type of money is being thrown around for something like this, you realize that, hey, if you can find your niche, you know what I mean, get into this game and get some solid footing, get you a cult fan base and build something that's authentic and organic, you're going to have an opportunity to eat and provide for your loved ones as well as those who work along with you on this project. So, hey, congratulations to Joe Rogan. And I'm going to be honest, congratulations to all the creators, real shit. Surely he got a big deal, and depending on who you are as an individual, this may or may not be a big deal to you, but the 66th Annual Grammy Awards will go down this Saturday. 5 p.m. Pacific from the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. To be honest, hip-hop has had a love-hate relationship with the Grammys for some time. It started off rocky from the beginning. They were disrespecting the culture, the genre, and the art form as a whole. Seems like over the past, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, they've been really trying to get this shit right. As far as the nominations have seemed like, you know, people who should be there rather than mainstream artists who may have, you know, endorsements and just fame and popularity. Not going to go down the whole slate of things, but I'm going to give you the ones that, you know, we'll be looking forward to. Hip-Hop Album of the Year nominations are as follows. Gunna, A Gift and a Curse. Killer Mike, Michael. Nas, for Magic 2. Travis Scott, for Utopia. And Metro Boomin, for Heroes and Villains. Another name we all know and love, SZA. She receives 9 nominations, including Album, Record, and Song of the Year. Has the most nominations of any artist this year, and will be performing as well. Joining her in performances are going to be Travis Scott, Burna Boy, Billie Eilish, U2, Joni Mitchell, Billy Joel, Luke Combs, and a couple more. I think it was Olivia Rodrigo and Dua Lipa. So not as many performances as we're used to seeing. Maybe the budgets, you know, can't get the bag out for every single person. With SZA being nominated for 9 and the most of anyone, you gotta expect her to be performing. I really hope she gets hers and you know, and at least cleans up some of the 9. Will she get all? I don't know. You know, she's in there with Taylor Swift's of the world. Just to name, you know, one other artist who I feel like is going to have a field day with these things. But she had, you know, a very dope album in which she took chances. She experimented with things. It wasn't a full, you know, just one-sided project. There was something in there for everybody on top of it. It was a great effort. So I really hope that she gets her nod, you know, her flowers while she's here and able to receive them for her efforts. Now from, you know, blessings and accolades to beef and insults. Briefly discussed the Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion exchange in the past. Megan had dropped a diss song seemingly out of nowhere, taking shots at Nicki Minaj, Drake, and, you know, some others as well. Nicki had kind of only responded through Twitter. She was dropping certain lines and text, a few snippets, I guess, in studio, and everything just seemed kind of sporadic. Then she drops this diss track. This joint's called Bigfoot. It was supposed to come out a little sooner than it actually did. Got pushed back. Apparently, there was issues with clearing of the beat. Truth is, Once you get Nicki's portion of the, you know, the back and forth and her project is released, the music should speak for itself.
Been true, been doing it, been at it.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Such a bore, drinking a bottle of Henny through a straw. Bitch, you better stop the dialogue. Or I hit call and buy your catalog. Sigh, how you fucking mother mirror when she died? How you gon' get a king and can't cry? Child, bye. Big foot, but you still a small fry. Swearing on your dead mother when you lie. Ayo, this little begging whore, talking about Megan's Law. For a free beat, you can hit Megan Raw. If you a ghost, write a party in Megan Jaw. Shot thrown, but I still ain't let Megan soar. Bad bitch, she like 6 foot. I call her Bigfoot. The bitch fell off, I said, get up on your good foot. Still ain't top red booby. I'm trying to steal a source, I said, you know about my cookbook. Really, I'm a city pie. P-R-T-T-Y, but I'm P-E-T-T-Y. Why did you lie about your lipo? Fucking your best friend, man, is crazy. You the type, though. You was lying to the queen and you been lying to the king.
Unprofessional as fuck, yeah. Podcast.
The 30-year-old seems so stale. Kylie kicked you out and made you stumble to the car. Bobs, I need a good alcohol bar. Roman, wait, that was the bar. Like a bodybuilder.
I don't gotta really play too much more. Y'all get the gist of it. Plus, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to get flagged for none of this music being played. First and foremost, we know Nicki Minaj. We know what she's capable of, you know, music-wise. Regardless of how you feel about her camp, about what she did immediately following the Hiss release, that was a diss track that came from Meg directed at her, Drake, and whoever else you want to kind of put in that boat. It's not connecting, man. It's not. It just don't sound like Nicki, you know, top tier female MC. She's one of the select few that when she gets to really rapping, you could remove the female, you know, prefix off of it all and just say she's one of them spitters, regardless of gender, era, whatever you want to call it. I'm not the only one who felt like this one just didn't really connect. I've been listening to a lot of publications. I've been looking through a lot of different think pieces on this joint. Whether it be, you know, independent podcasts like myself or top tier when it comes to this hip-hop media joint, the JBP, you know what I mean? They broke it down. They all kind of were in agreement. This really wasn't it. It's important to note that she also added the acapella version to the release. With that being said, it kind of made me believe that with the issue with the release of the beat, maybe this was something that was done to some other track, but in the, you know, fourth quarter, 2 minute warning, she had to call a different play, you know, had to audible to a different track. It don't sound like this is supposed to be here. Other producers that made beats, you know, synced it up and made their shit sound a lot better. On the Joe Budden podcast, they played this over the What Happened to That Boy instrumental, and it fit in the pocket a lot better. But even with that being the case, bar for bar, line for line, this shit just ain't it. Like I said, I'm not the only person who feels this way. It's been highly discussed. A lot of people, anybody who ain't caping, will tell you the truth. Now, I'm hearing a lot of other, you know, think pieces saying that at this point, Megan don't even need to respond at all. I'm feeling like 50-50 on that. You could feel like until she does something that's going to top what you had going on, then yeah, there's no need for a response. Let everybody else just do the talking for you. You can come out right now and be like, that shit was trash, but it's just piling on an already popular opinion. But when you allow other people to take that, you know, role for you, and speak on exactly how they feel, it might hit a little harder.
Okay, I don't know who Nicki got around her, but there's absolutely no reason that should have left the studio. I'm glad Nicki decided to finally rap and not just tweet, but no, that ain't it. Because Megan put out Hiss on Thursday night, and for the next 72 hours...
Friday midnight, yep.
No, it was Thursday night at midnight.
Midnight, yep.
No, so Friday at midnight, yep. Right? So she
put out his Friday night at midnight, Thursday.
And for the next 72 hours, all weekend, Nicki just has been talking about her on social media. And a lot of the bars that, you know, may have made me been like, oh, shoot, she already tweeted about. You know, she tweeted the Megan Law, Megan Raw line on Twitter. You know, slick line. But once I heard it in the song, already saw it on social media, so it ain't hit the same. The Bigfoot line on IG Live, I didn't hit the same because I heard it on IG Live. And I know we say all is fair in love and rap battles, but man, hearing Nicki keep talking about Meg's deceased mother, that ain't it, man.
Goes further than that. I want to get back to the Meg's mother point in a second, but I also want to kind of reiterate exactly what he said. The same way y'all heard me be vocal about how I'm not a fan of artists putting out single after single after single of an album that hasn't dropped yet. The last time I discussed that, it was the Benny the Butcher joint. Everybody Can't Go. This Friday marked its first week being out. I hope that that's doing numbers because it's a good effort. Dope project. Great debut for a major label, Def Jam included. But that's one thing that's a cardinal sin to me for albums. I might be on an island there with my thought process on that. But when it comes to a diss song, you need to have that moment like Charlamagne was just talking about. That shit where you don't know what's coming next. And then bam, there's a line. Bam, there's a line. Literally any haymaker that she threw in this joint was already tweeted, played as a snippet. And then when it came together on that beat and what was actually done, not only did it not hit the same, it just, you know what I mean, barely connected at all. If that wasn't bad enough of a look, we all know about the cult fan base that Nicki Minaj has. I mean, it's very well documented. She speaks to them directly. She calls them the Barbs. They call themselves the Barbs. They call her the Queen, whatever it may be, right? This shit that she has going on with her fans is similar to the kind of like a stronghold that Trump has on his supporters. I'm not getting political. I don't really give a fuck either way. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is just to put it in perspective for those who might not be familiar with Nicki Minaj, the quote-unquote Barbs are her fan base. The problem is they get a little too thorough with it. Somehow, some way, the location of the deceased Megan Thee Stallion's mother has become public knowledge. Once that kind of hit the news and everybody knew about that, knowing the lengths that Nicki Minaj fans will go to, Megan Thee Stallion was actually notified by police that due to the beef, due to the uncovering of the location, they were taking it upon themselves to make sure that they sent extra security that way.
What the feezy?
That shit's a little too much. Apparently, the Texas cemetery where Megan's mom, Holly Thomas, was laid to rest after passing away from brain cancer in 2019, notified by TMZ, or at least let TMZ know. The local authorities increased security personnel at the facility in light of the escalating feud. PSC will continue to monitor the situation as they take all matters regarding safety and security seriously. It's just too much. I'm shocked that I'm saying this, but in terms of a rap battle, this shit has actually gone a little too far when you think about what's at stake. Somebody's final resting place, much less her mother. Now, y'all can say what y'all say. You know what I mean? The fact that she actually did say certain things and put it on her mother who had passed. And then whether it was in front of Gayle King lying once again. And then when you get to the actual stand and you have to actually testify, you change your story to avoid, you know, being convicted of perjury. All that shit looks foul. It kind of just adds to the reasonable doubt that there is for people wondering why Tory Lanez was locked up the way that he was when the case wasn't really made the way that you would like to see in a court of law. I'm not going to get to that topic because he said some shit in text messages that incriminated himself enough to warrant at least public opinion not fucking with him. But that's beside the point. That's another tactic that Nicki's using. She's bringing up the trial. She's trying to, you know, unearth skeletons inside of Megan's closet, rather. Whether it be the friend that was, you know, wrapped up in all that situation. Mentioning the Jenners, Kylie to be exact. Trying to embarrass her, saying, yo, Kylie told you to leave. How did you stumble into the car? We already know all this. the fact that you got your cult fan base weaponized in a way that whether you give them the okay or not, they just go out of their way to do shit like this, has really swayed not only the court of the fans' public opinion, but of some of your peers as well. Not to say that Ruby Rose is less or greater than the other females who were mentioned in this discussion, but apparently a close friend's post that she had made leaked onto the internet following her just expressing how this is some evil shit. I don't know if Nikki's offended, you know, more the ladies behind the scenes or if they just get a vibe from her that's off, but it seems like when she thought she was going to have people turn in her favor, not only her attacks and her words and her way of going about things, but even more so the fan base and what they do just kind of turned everybody against her even more so. I see a lot of people showing support for Megan, a lot of ladies, Lotto being included. Got to take that with a grain of salt. You know, Lotto and Nicki Minaj had their back and forth at times, stemming from the fact that Lotto was a huge fan of Nicki, reached out, got the cold shoulder. Similar to the way that Nicki got from Lil' Kim when she expressed her fandom. Something to be said about people who break cycles rather than those who hop on it and ride, you know, petty road, but everybody's a work in progress, man. Nobody's perfect, and we all got to work towards, you know, bettering ourselves and self-improvement at all times. But this, none of my business anymore. I'm going to let it be as it is. I do feel like the timing of Megan's release, I'll say this, was weird at first, right? But the more that I hear people talk about this, talk about the fact that all the plans that she had were put on delay, basically, you know, essentially paused during the trial, following the verdict, then the sentencing. And now we're at the point where the defendant in that case is locked up. Some time has passed, and maybe they hit the green light again. All right, let's go full blaze ahead. You know what I mean? Let's do this. Let's do that. We see commercials. She's doing Planet Fitness commercials. She's doing Times Square's performances, right? Wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of endorsements come Super Bowl time. We're right around the corner. I can see that happening. It's only the beginning. I'm sure there's an album coming. There's a tour that's on the way. There's a lot going on. But the ladies, man, know that I'm a huge fan of the Rap Exchanges. Don't get me wrong. I used to watch them beef episodes, you know, those DVDs or, excuse me, just the films that would come out over and over till the next one came out. But when it gets to this, shit just looking a little shaky. Staying on topic of rap beef, although I felt like, you know, that one was serious and kind of serious out the pie, we could transition over to one that's not so much. I kind of stayed away from the Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def versus Drake exchange, for the fact that I really looked at that interview that Mos did and thought that there was a lot more information in there than that one soundbite or clickbait. It kind of became the narrative of that whole discussion, which kind of did it a disservice in my opinion. With that being said, Drake responded in the way that he does. At first, just, you know, certain subliminals, picture here and there, a caption under a photo, maybe a comment under another post. Came out and called him, quote unquote, a bohemian bucket. I guess that's slang around his way for a bum or some shit. That's what I've heard. Then he went as far as to call Yasiin a crackhead. I don't know, bro. But then, you know, to me, it's like, okay, you hear all that, right? So what's going to be the response from most? We're most definitely going to get some type of shots back, right? Nah.
Everything that needs to be free. Drake, if you would like to speak to me directly, you can at any point. I reached out to Chappelle, asked him to reach out to you. I DM'd you.
What the
fuck? You are a very talented MC. But for me, I require more of myself and others than just talent or charm or charisma, particularly in times of urgent crisis. And what I would like to see in terms of creators or creative people in the world as it relates to our culture is for people to connect with us beyond the jukebox or the dance floor. A fair weather friend can hardly be called a friend at all. The people who party with you, that's cool, but will they show up if you're at the triage? Urgent crisis.
All right. That's enough. You see, I'm with you when you're on the publication the first time and you're speaking about some dope shit. I'm with all that. But once, you know, the insults are coming, regardless of whether they're fucking valid or even funny at all, which they really weren't, Drake, but after that, nobody wants to hear you come big up this guy. And then send another little shuttle shot with this jukebox and then question his company. I mean, Talib be with you all day. Talib went directly back at whoever the fuck had something to say about him, whether it's on IG through his platform there, his People's Party podcast, or bar for bar like he recently did with Consequence. Whoever's around you most, whether they're there during good times or in that triage as you just spoke of, somebody should have told you got to fire some bars back, bruh. The truth of the matter is, regardless of what Drake is doing now music-wise, he came into the game as a backpack hip-hop head too. Not necessarily backpack, but you could tell he had a very huge admiration for those who did shit the way that y'all did. The Kanyes, the Fontes, the Talibs, the Mos Defs. With that being said, you have something in your arsenal. You can go give him something like that that he can't do at this point in his career. He tried it with that Scary Hours, you know, extra edition release attached to For All the Dogs. Used straight hip-hop beats, spit a lot of bars, got another collab with J. Cole, rapped on it. Didn't connect. The reason being, his whole fan base is geared somewhere else. At this point, however long he's been in the game, the people who are really here for bars ain't looking for that from Drake anymore. And then when you got it, still wasn't really, you know, what you expected. Rather than that Scary Hours shit, I'd rather him drop like 5 timestamp songs, all brand new, right in a row. That's where he really getting his bag. But most, you had an opportunity here to get in yours and show him all the arsenal and tools that he will never have in his bag. And instead, you got on that shit.
What the fuck?
Somebody who has understood the assignment is Benzino. Yeah, shocking, I know. I didn't think I'd be here either. Truth of the matter is, you know, Eminem was on that Lyrical Lemonade release that I spoke about the last time. Last pod, I brought it up. I said, I don't know who the fuck this guy is, how he got all these features. The Eminem feature on there was aimed at Benzino. I'm not going to go through the trouble of going to finding that shit right now. It's all over the place. You can Google it easily. Get straight to the clip, his verse, and even those bars directed at Benzino. Coyle Ray, for those who don't know, is the daughter of Benzino. In Eminem's verse, he mentioned something along the lines of, I guess, the Coily Ray features out the window. Really not your demographic anyway, but it is what it is. Pretty sure on the last pod, I played the Benzino track where he was on the Where I'm From beat. That one didn't really connect as much. This shit, he kind of got off a little bit more. Are the bars crazy? No. But is it directed? Can you tell that this guy, you know what I mean, has a little bit of research done and facts behind this joint? Most definitely. This is another release before a response towards Eminem.
You wasn't making any type of noise these days, so a choice was made. Clout chase, Benzino, and Coyle Ray. You still in your annoying phase.
Wow.
Hey, what do you call it when the man that stand is a stand? Help me coin the phrase. I am the job. You don't even be around. You don't even come outside. You don't even see a town. I swear Bezel said the M don't be showing the city love. Why you ain't got no words for him, huh? He in your city, bro. I wonder why. We wanna see. Just say something. So let's go down your stable.
Okay.
Gun left your label.
Uh-huh.
Benny left your label.
Right.
Khan left your label. Royce left your label. Joe Button left your label. Ortiz left your label. No crooked eye couldn't save you. Yellow Wolf been out there flopping. And where that all them false lines that you pitched them? Shady records sound like less of a name and more like a description. Chain here, the feature there, a side of that. What did he do? And why does Cat don't get the type criticism that did he do? Huh? Y'all see what all this...
Don't get me wrong and think for a moment I'm going to come out, you know, jump out the window, be a prisoner of the moment and say any way or even, you know, allude to the fact that Benzino could do better at rapping as a whole than Eminem can. That's blasphemous, obviously. But as far as this exchange here, this one single exchange, where the man was doing his own thing, not bothering nobody, you come around and feel like it's your duty to reignite some shit or take jabs at an easy target, in my opinion. He fires back to let you know, regardless, man, I ain't dormant. You know what I mean? You want to wake up a sleeping giant and deal with what happens after that. If you're asking me, between the Doomsday 2 bars directed at Benzino from Eminem versus these two projects back-to-back, these two, I guess, you know, freestyles, whatever you want to call it, Lucy's, I guess is a better term. Benzino's firing, man. He's doing what he's doing. He's got to punch his chance. He's in the ring and he's getting active. Sometimes you see a fighter who's clearly better than his opponent, but for whatever reason, isn't letting his hands go. Looks like maybe he took it too lightly, partied before he fought rather than trained to the level that he would for a fighter, you know, he had more respect for. Looks like Eminem thought he could just come out here, throw a jab, and knock Benzino out. But all he really did was wake up the heart of the fighter who came back out firing. Still a funny-ass beef to be dealing with in 2024. It seems like we're in a time capsule, right? Like we traveled back in time to the days of the Source. Shit's just crazy, man. Rap is one of them things, bro. You got to understand that when people really care about the craft, like I'm sure Benzino does, and it's obvious Eminem does, it's a different type of beast that you're awakening when you choose to fuck with them. There's a saying that goes around that says, you know, artists are sensitive about their shit. Defensive as well. You come trying to cast stones at somebody who was just chilling, you gotta be ready for what they do in retaliation. That being said, do I think Eminem is going to come firing back? Nah, probably not. He's dealing with the loss of the Lions. Came all the way over to Santa Clara. Talked shit to all the fans, flipped them off, and saw what that did. Same way Detroit took a nail that day. And the Niners fired with a comeback. Is the same way that M came out throughout his career when he did his first shots at Benzino back in this, you know, in his prime. Chose to go on that Lyrical Lemonade release and scored his quick 24 points in the first half. But Benzino, like that 49ers team, is reminding this guy that there's four quarters to the game. You got to make sure that final whistle is blown before, you know, you mark a W in your favor. Now, you could be sure that Eminem eventually will release something else. I know that even the thought of people out here giving any kind of credit to Benzino after an exchange ain't going to sit right with him. But when will that come? You know what I mean? Your guess is as good as mine. We don't know for sure. We do know for sure about at least one upcoming release. And that's what we're talking about right now. Schoolboy Q, one of the heavy hitters of the TDE camp, has released news that his new album titled Blue Lips will drop March 1st. Very good news for fans of TDE, more specifically Schoolboy. I personally definitely fall into that category. Definitely a fan of Schoolboy Q and everything he's done. 5 years since his last album, Crash Talk. I feel like that joint was slept on. It had the floating track with Travis Scott. A few other joints on there. That was the for sure standout to me, but it definitely wasn't even a single, so keep that in mind. On top of it, you know what I mean? Just the fact that TDE don't drop whack shit. I'm always looking forward to anything that that camp drops. And to be honest, it's going to be a big year for those who are fans of Top Dog Entertainment. Schoolboy Q is only the first. It's kicking off a year of drops, followed by, I believe this is in order as well, one of their R&B singers, goes by the name of Sir. Definitely a dope-ass artist. For those of y'all who aren't fully ingratiated with his music, you definitely need to go do that. Fun fact, he's actually an actual brother of D-Smoke. Artist who kind of gets flack from me for sounding too much like Kendrick. But when you are in any way, you know, mentioned in the same breath, it's because you have talent. So with that being said, runs through the family. J-Rock, TDE, and definitely family there. One of the first people that ever really made a mark for that label. Went from being the front runner to Kendrick Lamar's hype man. Or actually, vice versa. Excuse the hell out of me. Kendrick was J-Rock's hype man. Then, obviously, you know what he did. Fucking got the fuck up out of here, literally and figuratively. First, just obviously eclipsed what J-Rock was doing. Found extreme mainstream success. And then eventually went on to do his own thing. Still, none the least. The next release will be Dochi. Dope-ass female artist. If y'all don't know, go check it out. You've definitely heard some of her songs. You may just not be able to put a name to it. Ray Vaughn, who I featured on here before. Guy who was definitely talented, to say the absolute least. He's done freestyles on Leakers. He's dropped songs that have been played on the Shit We On segment in the past. And just is somebody you could tell is, for one, highly talented, and for two, highly motivated, which is a dangerous combination. Zakari, another dope-ass R&B artist featured on the Love Me, the song with Kendrick Lamar. SZA, obviously, we all know her. Slated to drop another one in 2024, which is great news. Not having to wait very long for SZA's next project. Ab Soul, he just dropped the Herbert not too long ago. That album was dope to me. Slated to come right back. Isaiah Rashad, constantly talked about and played on this podcast as well. One of my go-to albums is The Sun's Tirade. For those of y'all who haven't listened to that in its totality, please go and do so. Recently celebrated Sivia Demo, his debut release, 10-year anniversary. Taking that on tour, probably in the city near you very soon, so check that out. Kai Banks, I'm unfamiliar, but definitely have to go check it out because everybody else from the camp is fire. Same applies to Devin Malik. Lance Skywalker is a name that I don't really have a, you know, positive detail on his voice when I hear or whatnot, but I've seen that name in a lot of credits of your favorite artist's releases, so definitely someone to check out. And then a TDE compilation as well. Exciting news for those who really fuck with TDE. You know these guys have quality music at all time. The ladies, the men, the R&B, the rap, whatever you want to, you know, categorize it as, everyone's fire. So I can't wait for 2024 to unfold. Hopefully all these projects drop and as scheduled. I don't want no delays. I want shit to happen. These guys are really front runners as far as pushing the needle and just being original when they drop. So I can't wait for any of these. Something that we probably didn't know was coming, and if we did, thought we'd have to wait a lot longer for it. Snoop and Dre in 2024. According to the dog himself, not only has it been in the works for some time, but it's almost here.
So many fans out there wondering, what's up next? What's coming from you next? What can they look forward to?
Well, I can let the rabbit out the hat. I've been working on a record with Dr. Dre for the past...
No!
Past 8 months. We're about ready to drop a single in a couple of weeks, so that's what I've been cooking up.
With that news, I'll say this. We always hear about a Dre project, whether it's his or people he's working with that's on the way, and then, you know, you kind of look at that and feel like, is it though? Are we building our excitement up just to be let down? You think about all the albums in the past that were supposed to drop, the artists that he signed to his label, and then eventually just shelved their projects. But it seems like recently, not only has he have this in the works, been working on for 8 months, he's been very vocal talking about how many tracks he made in the pandemic. Marsha Ambrosia, singer of the Flowetry group, who's gone on to have solo success, also apparently has an album in the works with Dr. Dre that they're saying is a masterpiece. I think that it's full circle, man. Do I think that a drop with Dre and Snoop in 2024 is necessary? To be honest, you know, I would like to hear what they're working on, but do I think it's necessary? No. Unless it's on Death Row Now, owned by Snoop. Then in that case, I feel like it would be a great bookend to that story with the fact that they had to deal with so much while on that label due to Suge Knight, who's now locked up doing podcasts via collect call, giving Cat Williams the keys to the Tupac Posthumous album. Yeah. I think this will be the final nail in that coffin for a Suge Knight who, you know, went out of his way to make everybody uncomfortable in the past, and now when he's not so cozy, has to go another route. Speaking of Death Row, I'll never stop being amazed how when you cover this culture in any way, you can't avoid, even this many years later, discussing the legacy of this man.
Hank, Coco, yeah.
Roll up in the club and shit.
All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
You know what?
I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who
the Tupac's All Eyes on Me is the first album to reach 3 billion streams on Spotify. Huge number. I don't really think y'all hearing me, man. 3 billion streams. No other album from that year, which was 1996 when this album was dropped, has even amassed 2 billion, to put that in perspective. Just reaffirms what we all know, man, the importance of dropping quality rather than, you know, chasing the phase. He's built an authentic fan base that not only captured the hearts of those who were around to see him at that time, but has also been passed down from generation to generation. I can speak for myself personally. My kids got Tupac merch. My kids know these songs, you know, bar for bar, word for word. Not just the hits that you would hear on maybe the greatest hits album, but the B-side cuts, the lesser known, the soundtracks joints, you know what I mean? Like, Pac has made an impact unlike any other artist in the hip-hop genre. You could talk Michael Jackson when you talk pop. You could talk Prince when you talk about shit like that. But when you talk about Tupac Shakur, the league of his own, man. Gotta cut that off because UMG's on some bullshit. But let that just be said, man. You know what I mean? Tupac Shakur, all these years later, still doing what he's doing. His album and his work is just, you know, shattering whatever record was set before it and setting precedent going forward for anybody else who's trying to do what they do. Now, the alternative to this, the exact opposite, in my opinion, was recently highlighted on the C. Lee Instagram Live. For those of y'all who don't know, C. Lee is a creator famous for his work with the Thizzler on the Roof platform, which is not only a name, it's a brand and a community online. It's based in the Bay Area. Now, for those of y'all unfamiliar, he often has a variety of different competitions and showcases that he not only puts on, but continues to curate, which is a dope thing for the Bay Area. Artists from not only the Bay, but California as a whole, and even, you know, nationwide at times, are highlighted on his platform, given the opportunity. Regardless of what your stance is in this game, regardless of how much money or how many fans or whatever followers you have, randomly selects people, allows them to join his live. And then from there, get a portion of time to share your music, your beats, whatever it is that they're showcasing that day. Recently, a 14-year-old kid joined the live. When he joined, he was able to get his bars off, right? They let him rap. When they did that, the rap was quickly cut off. A discussion was had that I want to continue here on this pod. But before that, I got to give y'all what was said from this young man. This is how it went.
How old are you?
I'm 14. I'm 14. I'm 40 clapping on my pen, bitch. Send me automatic.
Bitch, I took three blocks, staying in outside.
Cut it. Hold on, pause it. Stay with your parents?
Hell yeah.
Do me a favor. I want you to rap this verse in front of your mama.
Mama was asleep right now. She slumped on the set.
Your mom's asleep? Your dad woke?
Yeah, both of them asleep. My parents divorced too.
Okay. But your mama know you rap?
Hell yeah.
Alright, so I want you to rap this verse and then we're gonna send it to her after, alright?
Funny on my pants, bitch, semi-automatic. Bitch, she wanna fuck with me, she better bring a gun. 2-3, bitch, I'm tryna, run, bitch. J-3, bitch, I throw the J until I die, bro. Hey, fuck you, me and crib behind, bro.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna keep it 1,000. This opens itself up for a world of jokes, man. You know what I mean? I don't want to serious this out. There's a lot of jokes that could be made. The fucking ironic part is I know somebody who sound a lot like that. Even made some of these same facial expressions this young 14-year-old would make. You feel me? But this ain't the time for that. This is 2024, not 2024 nerds. So I'm let that man live or whatever it is he's doing, if that's what he want to call it. But we gotta get serious for a moment now. It's too much. It's way too much, man. You know, my thoughts and my take on this shit is a lot different. The passion and the feelings that I got for this art form is something else. You could look at people across this entire world and think about the way that this culture, this art, has brought people together in a way like nothing else, man. You think about Tree and its impact on certain people, where all walks of life can meet at a certain location. And maybe in any other days of their life, not even rub shoulders or choose to exchange any type of words, whether good or bad. We'll sit around some, pass a joint around, and get to talking about life and realize that regardless of where we're from or what we do, we're really all not that different in the grand scheme of things, right? When it comes to this hip-hop shit, I'm a kid who grew up listening to whatever it was that those around me were listening to, whether it was my sisters playing the new current hits, some of the dopest, you know, songs or whatever it may be, my cousin across the street. I talked about this many a times, had all the bass slaps. Later on, his younger sister put me on the Hove. One intro turned into a whole new world of music for me, right? I care about this shit in a different type of way. This music shit to me ain't a phase. It's not something to do to look cool. It's really been therapeutic throughout my entire life. It's given me the opportunity to see different perspectives, to have a way to express and let shit out, whether good, bad, happy, or sad. And it's really made an impact on me that I hope isn't just for myself. You know, some people get some shit and they're like, yo, I hope that nobody else has this type of feel or ever experiences this. That's not the case. When it comes to hip-hop, you share great music with people. Hey, bro, you didn't hear this? No, you gotta listen to this. Some of my favorite shit to do. The Shit I'm On segment wasn't to try to mirror anybody else or what they had going on. It was to be able to output another version of music that you don't get on the radio. You don't get on YouTube. You don't catch at the Breakfast Club. You don't see on Ebro in the Morning, that maybe might not make it to the 106 KMEL shows that are overlooked at a C. Lee and the Thizzler. Not sending shots at any of these platforms. I'm just saying, for every fucking style of anything you're talking about, whether it be clothes, fashion, shoes, music, politics, there's always another side to that coin that sometimes don't get discussed and more often than not don't get seen. When it comes to this music shit, I promise y'all I'm not a snob. I just care about it differently. I was so excited after recording this last project that I've been working on that I wanted to come over here and highlight it and use it to open up the pod, but it was, you know, the Jackass day, so I'm like, fuck that. We're going to definitely get a little medley of some of his joints. And make sure that everybody feels the emotion, you know what I mean? Everybody keeps that guy alive. If you didn't know, now you know. Go back in this catalog and slap that shit. But no better time than now to discuss what I recorded the other day. it's gotta add an intro. I might even add this little kid as the intro. It would be really fitting, right? But the premise of this whole joint was basically like the culture looking over everybody right now is creating music and having an opportunity to say their piece. Starts off chorus-wise as, you know, pleading for a change. But then when you get into the verse, it's like, well, if that approach didn't work, now I'm just going to, you know, drop this shit on your head top and you ain't going to have no choice but to have to deal with it. With that being said, it's me, Ruck, Ramon, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Tracks called Common Courtesy. Fresh release is for y'all right now.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Definitely cooking on this joint.
Hey, Slime, turn that shit off.
Just out of common courtesy, stop doing shit that's hurting me. Can't tell if it's done purposely. I'm asking you now nervously and with a sense of urgency. I swear it's an emergency. Provided an outlet and gave you a chance. You need a release, I allowed you to dance. Looking back at it, I'm switching my stance. Now they take shots to fill up their pants. No more musicians, what's all about bands? Money ain't long if it folds in your hands. Stop buying brands and go get you some land. How it ain't hit you, I don't understand. Man make money, money don't make man. You think we can't notice, I promise we can. Lying to self on me, honestly fam, I'd rather live modest than fall for the scam. Kids don't grow and know it's a sham. Always a shame how they don't give a damn. All out of chips and you folded your hand. I promise that this wasn't part of the plan. Just out of common courtesy, stop doing shit that's hurting me. Can't tell if it's done purposely. I'm asking you now nervously and with a sense of urgency. I swear it's an emergency. Just out of common courtesy, stop doing shit that's hurting me. Can't tell if it's done purposely. I'm asking you now nervously and with a sense of urgency. I swear it's an emergency.
Hey, Slime, turn that shit on.
Normally, I would just freestyle something and bar up the rest of this joint, but I'm really going to work on making sure that this is a real, you know, thought-out process and try to get it as close to perfect as possible. Just because the importance of this shit really matters, you know what I mean? I really fuck with this music, this form of expression. Really feel like I was born to do a multitude of different things, have multiple and plural purposes in life, but I'm just gonna leave it at that, man. This ain't braggadocious moment. This is just letting y'all know how I feel. With that being said, taking it a step further, there's more shit that I have on this computer that I haven't even bounced down and added to my phone yet that I'm excited to share with y'all. Excited to an extent. The other day, driving home from work, had the unfortunate timing to witness something that I wish I hadn't. Thank God and those above who were looking out for the guy to make sure that my timing was at least a little bit off and I wasn't involved. But somebody lost their life on my ride home. I seen them covering up a body on Interstate 5. And kind of fuck with me, right? Because I got experiences with best friends of mine, people who I looked up to, no longer here, in car accidents, multiple, unfortunately. One that I was in the car for. Some people look at it like, oh, man, that's horrible. I wish you weren't. But for, you know, my personal view, had I not been, there would have been what if questions that would have killed me to never be answered. And at the same time, having to provide those answers for people is an even more difficult task. Let's not get too sad and shit. Let's just talk about music. Recently, the creation process for me has found an extreme resurgence. I found a way to get this pen back in the groove. It had been so long that I felt like, nah, I'll just freestyle. People are impressed with the freestyle. That's enough. But that shit didn't impress me. There's only so many times you could, you know, spit some shit that might be scatterbrained. Of course, it's off the top of the dome. It's not predetermined. But it's also not to your fullest potential. I found some type of groove right now that the pen is really doing what it's supposed to do. I'm able to go find beats, add to pieces from people who send me shit, and send them back results that I could be proud of. That being said, I want to send a special shout out to the TM Co-op, Shiny Bowl, for always lacing me with tracks to work with. Same goes for Goose. Send me a beat. Well, actually, I had a beat that was his that was floating around. He had shared in a group chat that I actually hit him up about. I was like, hey, man, has anybody worked on this? Has anybody, you know, got this in the tuck? Is this released on anybody's upcoming project? To my surprise, he let me know that nobody was working on it. With that being said, I was like, bro, can I please? He said, yeah, do what you do. The other day, I sat down with it, sent him a picture like, hey, I'm starting the process. For whatever reason, at that point in that day, it really wasn't the time. Shit wasn't clicking. But then later on down the road, you kind of, you know, put it to the side. You start working on something else. And you're like, hold up, put that back on. Thus far, I got a dope-ass chorus. I'm still trying to work the kinks out of, trying to make sure that that's in the right pocket. And that'll be another thing that's getting released up and coming and shortly. But that's going to be Patreon. All this shit might get played on the regular pod. But if you want to get a portion of it, if you want to be able to get something for you to take and play on your own accord, subscribe to the Patreon. Do that. Let me know, hey, I need this. I'm sending it directly to you. You have it in your files. Play it as you wish. Definitely not leaving the music discussion yet. It's important for me to find out that UMG is an equal opportunity hater. I'm glad it's not only me, Universal Music Group, one of the three entities that run the music business and catalogs for whatever it's worth, right? They definitely want every motherfucking penny. What the fuck? They on that JG Wentworth shit, man. It's their money and they want it now. Not only me and my pod, you know what I mean, getting called out and flagged for the use of full-length tracks on a broadcast, you know, of this size at this point. When that shit happened to me, I was shocked. Care about it enough to where I was like, at least let me inquire and see what I could do to get on the right side of this, right? See if I could work with them. After, you know, getting them numbers back, it was like, yeah, it's feasible. I could do this shit, but I'm going to break even. Doing all this work to get them paid. It's bad enough you're doing the splits that you do with a Spotify. They want you to monetize their way and give you a fraction of a penny of a fucking payment for publicizing their shit and pumping up their brand. Can't do that. Now they pocket check TikTok as well. What the feezy? 3 days ago, they notified TikTok that they would be pulling their music from the popular app following failed negotiations as far as payment is concerned to the artists under their label that are creating the music that is thriving on their platform. What kind of backhanded shit is that? When you talk about the music business and how it is right now, we just talked about a fraction of a penny per stream. Snoop Dogg has been vocal about it. Did a whole pod talking about a cup of coffee could not be purchased by 60% of the music released in 2023. How even those who did the most this year as far as first week sales were barely cracking enough money to suffice working a full year for the average individual. It's crazy. As of today, no UMG artists or songs are on the app. And pun intended when I say that TikTok has gone silent. They're not saying anything about this. They're not wavering in any way. It seems like they're ready to fight as well. UMG does not own all of the music. But when you talk about only three huge parent companies. To put that in perspective for the casual fan, imagine if, just for shit's sake, put in something that everybody can relate to, right? Imagine if, let's say McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's were the only fast food companies. That if you wanted to put out anything from any of the other places that you may go to, it was underneath the parent company of those, one of those three. That's what we're talking about with music. Whether it's your favorite country artist, your pop singer, your boy band, your favorite rapper, underground or mainstream, R&B artists who are keeping the underground alive, or up to the likes of a SZA who is the most nominated in the Grammys. Imagine that if you wanted to go anywhere and get a burger or get some fries, you had to go to one of those three individuals and conform to their rules. That's where we're at with it right now. Bothers me because, for one, if what we're saying is true, 60% of music can't purchase a cup of coffee. You would think that whoever's out here trying to shed light on these artists, on these songs, on this product that you own, you'd be all for it. Even shining some light on whoever it is that's doing it in a way that you think is done well. I love sharing new releases, man. Bringing back classics as well to the platform. Most pods, to be honest, are music free. Had this discussion with my brother Al. He was like, yo, man, a lot of people don't even play songs. They got a little intro song that's very, you know, recognizable. You know, if I'm hearing this jingle, this tune, then that means that this is the show that's on and clicks in your mind. And that's definitely a way to go about things. For me, I know that when I hear some shit that I ain't heard in a minute, or hear something that's brand new that is definitely in my style of music, I get excited. You know what I mean? Whether it's a morning drive where you might have been a little tired, now not only you're awake, but you're motivated to go do what you got to do. I go out of my way to try to dig through whatever is released on a Friday to show people what I think is dope, or give my opinion on something that maybe other people are highlighting and thinking that is dope, that it maybe, you know, didn't really connect with me. Never going out of my way to try to shit on the project, at least not purposely. Have I been guilty of it? I'm sure. But I definitely use the Shit I'm On segment to highlight shit rather than, you know, attack somebody's piece of art. That's never been the goal. I'm gonna be honest, music makes monetization difficult and in some cases completely impossible, whether you license it or not. The biggest names in this podcast game, especially in the hip-hop space, did purchase their blanket licensing. They can't give that to you on an audio version of their pod. When they choose to take it to a video platform, whether it's YouTube or wherever else, they're restricted. It's a complete different aspect of the licensing. You would need one for sync. You would need one for duplication. You need one if your shit's being downloaded. Is it live? Is it, you know, there's so many hoops that make you jump through. It's crazy. I know TikTok is used for so many different things. I personally never been one who joined the app. I don't know its full capabilities. I know in the past when I was like, nah, I'll never do it, people looked at me like, well, I think you're just a little naive to it. What turned me off is, as a 38-year-old man, I'm not trying to go to an app where all I ever see is young girls dancing to. That shit's just creepy to me. People in the past have told me, nah, man, it's like YouTube. Concise. You don't have to deal with the dude who's telling you how to fix the sync, promoting whatever, you know, deal he has with a certain product, or, you know, listen to just his speech impediments and all the bullshit that goes along with that. Get straight to the meat and potatoes. And in that case, well, I guess it's dope. But from what I've seen, it seems like TikTok's very reliant on music, whether new or old, and has been very instrumental in songs that may have been past their time, coming back and connecting with a whole new fan base, another generation, and go crazy again. I don't know. At least for the younger creators and fan bases, they're very reliant on the music, and to me, that makes this interesting. I look at the grand scheme of things and I say, well, if this is a company this big and they're ready to go to war with the UMG, another company that's nothing to sneeze at, it could lead to big changes. Hopefully one that helps all of the creators who are out here trying to do what they do and play music along the way. It's definitely going to be a make it or break it point, not only for TikTok, but for whoever else is trying to use music to amplify whatever they're doing. Me included. So I'm hoping that TikTok, you know, is ready for a 12-round fight and does what they can do for themselves and open us up some doors and some loopholes for us to walk in or exploit going forward. That's where I'm at with it. Well, at that point, new releases, I'm not going to deter from it. After going on that long-ass diatribe, UMG, you're going to have to deal with this. As I do on every Friday morning, sometimes Thursday night, depending on what I know is coming, I go and I gather up whatever I see that's on its way, make a playlist, and make sure that I get it listened through. Whatever projects I possibly can throughout my workday. Today I was pleasantly surprised with something that I didn't know was on the way. An artist that I've been a fan of from a distance. Listen to features, listen to certain tracks. Really discovered this guy when he did a collaboration with Currency on a track called Pelicans. Got a lot of partners that's tapped in, and I know that they listen to this joint. This is how I started my day. All Black. New album, just released. Slow Motion Better Than No Motion.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Big Chop. King Lou Eladi. Ain't going dumb like we at a pimp rally. Free Mac Blast, I'm with Lee. We rowdy. She want black to go long like I'm Howie. Big guns, big bags, everything big. Buy drugs, come back, strip a nigga with a dread wig. Buy a brick, crack it open just like Craig did. Sip too much lean, I hope I get to see my grandkids. Cover three, shit on lock, I'm Trayvon Diggs. They say you can't stop the rain, somehow I did. Turn that tip out on, I'm finna start a mosh
pit. Shit had me going 80 into 40, fam.
Big blower, these switches on everything. Bitch gave me a hand job, she wore a wedding ring. A-R at an audition. All of the same. Only thing gonna stop the pain is all black Novocaine. When I get inside my pain, I like to think I'm Mark Twain. I'm these niggas stepdaddy, call me Ving Rhames. Every day hit a word of crown, I'm all black LeBron James.
Come on, fam. 14 tracks. Features from E-40, LaRussell, Waka Flocka, just to name a few. Got almost all the way through this joint. Actually, you know what? I did get through this whole joint. No skips. I gave it a listen. Now, what you gotta know with me is I'm always keep it a buck. So I'm gonna say this. I started my morning with this joint. Like I said, I enjoyed it. This guy's flow and style, although it's an original, too much of it could get tiring at times because it seems like it's a lot of monotone. He's got a style that he's running with, and it's all his own. That's all you could ask for from an artist, and that's what you can be used to. At least you should be used to in the Bay Area. Kind of got away from that as of recent. But this is a breath of fresh air. Like I said, man, the style is all his own. It's original game and the wordplay and vernacular. It's on that Bay shit. Now, in that same wheelhouse, though, when you talk about the Bay, the cousin of the Bay in many people's minds, Detroit, Michigan. They definitely got their own shit going, too. These guys have been on the run for quite some time. A lot of different artists that get highlighted on this show, whether you know it or not, they're from Detroit. They got their own style. Another factor out there, Iceware Vezo. This joint's called Projects, off his Live from the Six joint. New album, Iceware Vezo.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Live from six.
Put your pussy lips on
live, I'll give you a thought. I was a fighter, tie my hands. Used to get them cheap bucks, $1,000 again. Put them bitches in the sky, show you how to land. All them pussy niggas die, up and out of fist. Missed the $2,500.
Definitely a fan of Detroit and what they got going on right now. Is a plethora of artists out there who's making a very big impact, not only in their town, but around surrounding areas, and made it all its way to California as well. Definitely on the run when you talk about these guys. Features on this album come from DaBaby, Babyface Ray, YTB Fat, and more. Surprised by this joint as well. Hit-Boy and Alchemist. Definitely have grown a dope relationship, built a bond. OG to a young man out here making moves with OGs. They put out a joint 3-pack. Shit's called Theodore and Andre. This specific song is called Morrisley. Peep it out.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.
Still looking comfortable, yo. Marks get set, rev the engines. Toured across the globe, more than 27 missions. Money made out of plastic, no way to rip it. Soon as the wire connected, I made a visit. Sipping espresso with the pinky out. Running a shop, blow everything.
I'ma keep it a buck with you like I did with the All Black. I'm in a sneaky bag. Love Alchemist, man. Love what he's done, not only production wise, but even when he's come on certain tracks at certain times. But is it something I want to listen to as you know, at a high level for a long time? Maybe not. Just the fact that he's inspiring somebody like Hit-Boy to continue that kind of music in this day and age, I'll deal with it. Yeah, boy, may not be the greatest of rappers as well, but I mean, compared to his pops. These are actual events. Life's a movie and it's packed full of suspense. No hate, though, man. These two guys are definitely factors in this game. Great contributors that need to be highlighted. Go check out Theodore and Andre. Spread love like a scented candle. They'll never learn until you set example. Release the animals from the bullpens and let them trample. Hide all the records from this maniac. Don't let them sample. Let's talk singles. Don Toliver, another person I really fuck with. Son of Travis Scott. New single titled Bandit. Definitely vibe music. You need to get that shit live. Turn this on. Any of his fucking projects, to be honest with you. Nobody gonna talk about this song. Had to come and highlight it. Marv 1, former battle rapper, probably still active. Don't quote me on that. Along with Freeway. This shit's called Rock Nation Brunch.
I'm trying to go to the Rock Nation Brunch. Hove on the grill, Beyonce making the punch. The yacht's in the back, the little lakes in the front. Put the game on the plate, go ahead and take what you want. I'm trying to go to the Rock Nation brunch. J. Cole on the bar, Rihanna facing a blunt. Linen and limousines that came with the bump. Where big deals get made without saying too much. We is young black excellence at its finest. Every now and then we need a set to remind us that we do.
Can't let myself get flagged. Gotta run through these quickly. This is that Mexican OT featuring the baby. This joint is called Point Him Out.
Point Him Out. Point Him Out. Throw his bitch ass in the trunk, take him to the south. Hey, where he is, point him out, point him out. Throw his bitch ass in the trunk, show him what the fuck we talking about. I'm striking men like striking lightning. You see what happened in my last fight, friend, well, I hype in. Better tighten up, we tighten. Put my grill up, cause I popped the X all night, it had me biting. Caught his ass stealing, so I had to take his right hand. Could be looking
like a pump jack, bitch. It's definitely a smooth Friday for music. Not gonna say that, you know, everything that dropped was a classic. I will say that there's a lot of shit that needs to be examined further. Simply giving y'all the shit that I got an opportunity to listen to, hoping that maybe some of it connects or you go through and go down the rabbit hole and find more. If you do, let me know. Send me a message. Leave it in the comments. Feel like the baby found him a new flow on this joint. I'm gonna let y'all hear a little bit of that.
Like no lane, keep my name about your mix. Ho, I don't like diamonds no more. On the plane, Jane, watch my wrist. No, the rap, I'll pop my shit. Nigga, I was so tired with them motherfucking bags. Mama thought I had the bricks. Nigga, bricks. Nigga, I'm a ghetto bitch off at a job and borrow her will. Nigga, I'm in this bitch with a baby. AR playing sweet, acting like I'm a bitch. Nigga, I tell her mama to bend it over like a dog. I'm trying to come hit with him. You know, these bitches are driving Honda through the wild to fuck with a rich. Nigga, I'm from the south.
Said it was new. I ain't say it was the dopest. Since we talking to dopest, let's talk about the dopest for real. Keep it 1,000 with y'all, man. I sound like shit right now. I've been out here in this garage taking notes, watching the Kings game, getting back to it, going from the hot to the cold, from the cold to the hot. Gotta get my shit straight, get back to 100%. On top of that, I gotta get a better setup. I can hear mad feedback in this motherfucker right now, and that's not the move. Unprofessional as fuck, though.
Very fucking unprofessional. What is our life
coming to, my respected brother? Couldn't get out of here without shedding some more light on the J.A. The Jacker, Shahid Akbar. Rest in peace to the legend. Mob in peace to the legend. And make sure that y'all go stream this man's catalog. Remind motherfuckers exactly who this individual was. You got a homie that means something too. And you ain't tapped in with them in a while, make sure you do that. You've been too busy to go check up on loved ones who, if you were to look at a calendar, you'd be embarrassed of how long it's been. Make sure you make some time to go visit them. You had some shit you put off yesterday that you could get done today. Start your day completing that task. And if you have a choice between going and making a billionaire or a trillionaire, or letting somebody with a small business know that you got some support for the squad, support that small business. And as always, need y'all to find what makes you happy and return the favor. But definitely holler at y'all later. Go on.
But I can't do nothing. All happened just trying to grind, just trying to be someone. Just trying to get my family out the slums while I'm hustling. Gotta be a reason why my heart's still pumping. I seen a man today, I think he tried to tell me something. I thought about Pac and what he used to rhyme about. More than just a thug, cause he really tried to find it out. Find it out. Find it out.